These two precious descriptions of the kingdom of heaven are only in Matthew. They're still part of this parable section, which we'll have for a little while longer. Why do you think he spoke like that? What was on his mind? Why? What was he telling us? The kingdom of heaven is this precious that if you find a treasure, you know, you sell everything and buy that field and get that treasure. If you want to have a real enjoying time, look, the fathers of the church, how they alight on this text and talk about it. And of course, they talk about it from experience. You know, Jesus preaches the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, except in Matthew, the circumlocution for God. Instead of saying God, he says heaven. But it's the kingdom of God. The rest of the New Testament preaches Jesus, because Jesus is the kingdom of God. Jesus is that place where God's majesty and love and saving power are recognized and experienced. He's it. Now, you know, he knew that. As he stood there saying these words, he knew that he was the satisfaction of all desire. He knew that. He had to know that because it's true. How many times did we come to me, all you who are laboring and burdened? He knew. I was thinking as I was reflecting on this, Saint Therese, you know, knew she was called to be a saint. She wasn't surprised. She knew. Now, she could have turned her back on it. She could have done lots of other things. But she knew. What about the Son of God himself, God incarnate? He knew. He looked at all these people and he knew that the only thing that can satisfy them is myself. Now this comes clear in the way that St. John talks about Jesus and records a whole other level of discourse which Jesus gave, maybe to another audience, but which he gave. Or when he drove the people out of the temple, and they said, what are you doing that for? And he said, what? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up. And they've never forgot that. It's repeated at his trial. It's repeated at the crucifixion. Hey, you, we're going to raise the temple in 3 days. Come off the cross. Now, John adds, now he said this of the temple of his body. He knew, I'm the temple. I'm the place where man meets God and God speaks to man and brings him into the whole rhythm of God's life. I'm the place. He knew that. Can you imagine? And then giving himself like that. Laughed at, mocked, beaten, crucified. He knew that was the way to make this treasure, who he is, available. So we have these two texts. As I say, it's really fun to read Origen, the great scripture man. He says, well, the field is the Bible. And the treasure is Jesus. So you get a hold of that field, that Bible, and you just keep digging and you will find the treasure. How does that work out in our life, the treasure? Well, that simplifies life, doesn't it? Here it is, I'm going to do that, bing. Now suppose that's not our vocation. In some way, of course it is, because Jesus is the treasure of our life. Well, how do we do all that when we got all these other things? See, well, Paul said, you know, if you're called to be celibate, grab it. Because you save yourself a lot of confusion on your way to God, who is the only answer and the only satisfaction of all the desires of your being, body, soul, spirit, emotion, whatever. But if you're not, you make your way to God, but you have the same treasure. The same treasure. These words, which are a gift from the Holy Spirit, are meant to stir up in us such a desire for Jesus that's all we're looking at. That doesn't mean we don't do our job. It doesn't mean we don't help out people. But he's the treasure. Well, what happens? he's the treasure so long as everything's going pretty good. Then things get tough. And something else has got to be the treasure. I need more money in the bank. I need people to be nicer to me. Whatever. No. He's the treasure. He's the fine pearl. You know, in the Eastern Rite, we don't have a tabernacle. We have a dove hanging over the altar. It's behind the holy doors. You know, you've probably seen it in Eastern Rite Church. Huh? And in the dove, there's one or two pieces of the Blessed Sacrament for the sick. And it's called the pearl. There is the pearl of great price. Right there. The pearl. Imagarita. I think if we take these tests and talk, you know, talk to Jesus about them today, you know. I want you to be the treasure of my life. I want you to be the pearl of my life. Now this, I haven't sold everything to go get that treasure. You know. Finds the pearl, goes and sells all that he has and buys it. That's expensive. But it's worth it. Now, in most of our lives, that means, well, you know, we put a down payment today and we put a little more tomorrow. But finally, we get rid of everything. And Jesus is our treasure. Now, you know, we can't do that without his direct action in our lives. There comes a time when we just can't do any more. We're too weak, we're too stupid, we're too attached, we're too sin, we're too whatever. Jesus has to do it. He does it by the way he disposes our life. We get sick, the stock market crashes, whatever. But then interiorly, he begins to act. And he's saying to us, I know that I am the pearl of great price for your life. I know that. And I love you so much that unless you stop me, I'm going to bring you to know that yourself. And it's going to hurt. But my friend, you've only got this one life. What are you going to do with it? You've only got this one life. In a couple of years, no matter how young or old you are, you're going to be lying, dying. And you're going to say, what did I do? Did I let Jesus take over and work in my life and work in my interior and work in my spirit in a way that only he can do through his Holy Spirit? So that at least by the time I die, I'm holding the pearl. Everything's right here. And this is eternal. I can go. Now, there's a huge advantage to having that happen before we die for ourselves, because then all that we do builds the church, this precious church, without which, where would we be? John of the Cross says that one act of pure love to which the Lord can bring us in his purifying action, oh, it happens through sickness and misunderstanding and rejection and darkness. And all of a sudden, I got the pearl. He says that at that point, one act of the love that the Holy Spirit can then bring out in us, work in us, and we agree to it 100%, it's our act of love, does more for the church than all the active works of the church combined. Think about it. So, we all quit doing active works? No. But they're meant to bring us even in and through them to a holiness, a love. Jesus, you're the pearl of my life. I don't care about anything else. You're my treasure. I'll sell everything I've got to get this. Now, how does that happen? If we yield little by little to the work of the Holy Spirit, yield little by little, stop complaining. And yield. He's got, what can he possibly have for us except eternal joy starting now? What else could he possibly have in mind? He's God. His only Son died for us. What could he possibly have in mind leading us through life? Except eternal joy. And the joy of knowing that as we are transformed, we are building the whole body of Christ, making it glorious, holy, attractive, a source of salvation. Isn't that worth it? Now, you know, in 20 minutes after Mass, we're going to forget this. Somebody's going to cut us off in traffic, or the breakfast is lousy, or you know, we're going to forget this. But the Holy Spirit isn't. And if we are sensitive, He will bring it back to us all day long. I was a rookie. I mean, I was 20, 21 years old. And I used to say to the Lord, you know, because He stirred up in me such a desire for Him. And I was nowhere. I mean, literally nowhere. But I had this desire for Him. And I would say that, look at Jesus, I'll trade you any sin I've got if you'll just let me know you better. And He took me up on my word. I don't mean that one. Oh yeah, that one too. I'll do that for you if you'll let me. This is a precious text. Just like it's the treasure buried in the field of the whole parable discourse. You know what I mean? It's right there.